preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
Revelation chapter 1 sets the stage for the rest of the book. And we're seeing here the burden of Christ. Christ is raised, Christ is exalted, but Christ has a message for his churches. And this is given in the opening vision of John to John on the island of Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. John is suffering. And John becomes a model to the Christians of suffering in this present tribulation. He calls it that in verse 9. He says, in the tribulation with you. Now, what does John see? He hears this loud voice and he turns around to see what this voice was, to see what he heard. And we read this. He was clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band, his head and hair like white wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. Let me just stop. What is John seeing? What imagery do you have here? Think of the symbols for a minute. All of this is taken from the Old Testament. This garment immediately draws us not only to the garments priests wore, but to the garment Isaiah saw. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Remember what the cherubim, everyone was doing. They were saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. You see, throughout the whole Old Testament, the robe of God, this imagery that we see is describing God's blazing, resplendent glory. His awesome brightness of his power, the one who blazes in fire and dwells in unapproachable light, sheer majesty, exalted glory, radiant beauty. John is seeing him in the fullness and beauty of that glory in a vision. Around his waist is a golden band, something that Isaiah said, righteousness shall be the belt of his loins and faithfulness the belt of his waist. He is full of glory. Banded around him is righteousness. John says his hair and his head was like white wool, white as snow, and his eyes a flame of fire. Amazing. It's not age. You know, fire in its ultimate intensity, its hottest intensity, it's pure white. It's the same imagery here of the Old Testament when Moses saw the bush burning, but it wasn't consumed, and the Lord was in the midst of the bush. Here, John lays eyes on Christ, and he is on fire. The beauty of his radiant glory puts off this beautiful white flame in all of his purity. His eyes a flame of fire, telling us that Christ sees everything, and he's full of anger. This is not Jesus on a donkey. In fact, John adds, his feet are like fine brass as if refined in a furnace. What does this mean? Revelation 10 describes an angel who comes down from heaven having his feet as pillars of fire. Same thing. The imagery here is that Christ's feet are burning as if they've been in a furnace, and they are so hot they're glowing in glory. Everything has been put under these feet. They are coming. They are coming to trample down every enemy who stands in the way. They will be crushed by his blazing glory. All of this making sense? His voice is as the sound of many waters, a terrifying sound, the voice that shook Sinai. Out of the mouth goes a sharp, two-edged sword. His word is the final word. And it all culminates with John saying that his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength, like lightning. Everything we've ever seen, invisible theophany in the Old Testament, visible appearings of God, his descriptions throughout the Old Testament, all of it comes together here in fulfillment. It's showing us Jesus Christ in his raised, resurrected glory, coming as judge. This is directly taken from the framework of Daniel 7. I watched till thrones were put in place and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was as white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. 1,000 thousands ministered. The court was seated, and the books were opened. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. You know what you have? You have a vision in Revelation 1 of Christ coming in judgment. He's the one who renders the verdict. And what is his concern? John sees him, and what do you read? He immediately falls down as dead. Listen, this is the response Christ wants his church to think about. This is the first thing that always has to be recovered if there's going to be any real conviction of sin and change. And the Lord over and over shows us how forgetful we are, dear listener, in his church, in his kingdom, as his people, how forgetful we are of his holiness. We don't even talk about that today. How often do you hear a message on that today? His justice, his blazing glory, his holiness. Anyone who ever saw a vision of God, it had an awful effect on their lives. Not just a fearful one, but one that actually made people sick and weak. John couldn't move. He was totally incapacitated. And this is drawing us back to Daniel. Daniel describes the same vision in chapter 10. He says, "He was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep, on my face, with my face to the ground." Remember what Isaiah did? When Isaiah saw the glory of God, he fell on his face, and remember what he said? "Woe is me! I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among those with unclean lips." You know, this is fascinating. I'm literally breaking apart. I'm being consumed, incinerated by his glory. You know, even John himself, who rested on Jesus' bosom when he was here taking the supper, when he sees the resurrected Christ, he falls as dead. You know, there was that praise song in the 90s, you know. "I just want to see him. I just want to touch him. I just want to know him more." You know, listen, if Jesus Christ came in his glory, no one would be able to stand. Everyone, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to drop as dead in horror. Unless, of course, he speaks words of peace to you. And that's exactly what he does to John. We read that he laid his right hand on him. The right hand was the symbol throughout the Old Testament of God's delivering power and strength. "And he said to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of death and Hades.'" Aren't you thankful for this? See, this all starts to come together today. What is Jesus concerned about? He's concerned about you. He's jealous for your undivided loyalty to him. What did the whole Old Testament tell us about the Lord? That the Old Testament tells us over and over and over that he is with his people, that he has come to dwell with his people. But the problem the Old Testament shows us about Israel was that they faced many discouragements along the way, and in the process, they fell into idolatry. See why he's angry? He's coming to judge this stuff. And the only reason he's not put an end to the world today, the only reason this sad world continues to go on, think about it. Why does this sad world continue? It's for one reason. It's because the Lord Jesus Christ is continuing his plan to evangelize the nations, and when the last one of his elect comes in, it ends. That's what Jesus said. The gospel will go out into all the world as a witness, and he will gather in his elect. But the problem is this. His churches are falling headlong back into the very values and into the very culture that they were delivered from. And if his church forgets why they're here, and they become discouraged along the way due to the persecution and the hardship, or they fall back into the system of values they came out of, or they continue to compromise the word of God, they are not fulfilling the purpose for which Christ left us here on the earth. And so Jesus now explains what this vision is all about. He tells John, write the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which shall take place after this. And then he explains it. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. And the seven golden lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. The word for angels here is messenger. This could mean that which represents the church, but I take the old interpretation that this is speaking about the pastors of the church. Christ's concern is really clear. His churches, represented by these seven churches, are his light bearers. The word of God is the lamp and light of the life of the church. And Christ is telling us that he is building a spiritual temple, a new temple, not a temple made with hands, but through the Spirit. And what has John seen? Christ is among his lampstands as our king priest, trimming the wicks. The lampstands represent his churches spread throughout all the world. There is light. And he is the source of their light, their heat. He radiates his churches. But what's happened? Many of his churches are failing to be witnesses to him. They've forgotten it's all about Christ and not them. And if the church is not ministering the gospel, if a church is not bringing forth the testimony of Jesus Christ in an unwavering way, the light is not burning. The churches, you see, are called to reflect the light of Christ. We can never put our lights under a bowl. But the sad reality is that already in the first century, many of these churches were facing mass discouragement and great compromises, so much that Christ was threatening to remove lampstands. Here's what Christ wanted to communicate to the churches, that he is zealous for them, that he cares for them. And if we're facing opposition, if we face even death, the Lord is saying that he's with us. He's on fire in our midst. He knows our situations more intimately than we do. And he is the one who lives and was dead and is alive forevermore. Amen. He holds the keys of death and Hades. That's the greatest encouragement to struggling churches to be faithful in our mission. The one, dear listener, who is sovereign over all is coming as judge. The one who triumphed over death, rose victorious, holds the keys of the kingdom. What a wonderful comfort this is to Christians. This is what we are to do in the wilderness. May we never forget that God himself has promised to be with us even to the close of the age, and that we belong to him. May we be faithful witnesses as churches to the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church with the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days are the worship service times. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.